Hey everyone, it's all new episode. This is number four of the Author Spotlight with Renee from Silver Spring, Maryland, and
Kente from Los Angeles, California.
How's it going, Kente?
I'm doing pretty good, actually. I like how you renamed the show. Spotlight Authors Edition.
Thank you. But thanks for calling me out for the world.
It's all good. It's all good. I'm glad to be here with you and looking forward to our show today.
All right.
How was your day? Pretty good, actually. So our guest, we only have about 30 minutes with him. So let's bring him in. Our guest is author Hezekiah Morris.
Hey. Hi, Hezekiah.
Hey. What's up, everybody?
Hey. All right. So since this is your first time on our program, we like to start off with the beginning. So tell us about where you're from, man.
I'm originally from Appomattox, Virginia. Started writing books about, I guess, 7 years ago. And it's been a journey. It hasn't been easy. You know, you have your ups and downs. You know, everybody think you get rich quick, but you don't. It's just a passion I have, something I like to do, something I love to do. It takes a lot of hard work and determination, but you know, I have a lot of stories to tell, so I really appreciate what I do.
So you still live in Virginia, or have you moved away?
I live in Atlanta. So you know, I just wanted to move around and put my books out there. You know, I didn't want to be complacent back home doing nothing. So I decided to travel and write books.
And what landed you in Atlanta?
Oh, man, I don't know. I just want something different scenery. I went up to New York, a bit in Philly, Carolina, everywhere. So different places.
All right. So, let's talk about writing, because you know, we love to ask our authors, what were their influences? What was your influences as a young man as far as writing?
I read a lot of Alex Haley books, a lot of Nancy Drew books, the Hardy Boys books, a lot of autobiographies and stuff growing up. It really wasn't that mystery type until I really got to my teens, that I started switching genres and reading different genres. But growing up, you really didn't have a lot of different books to pick out, at least from our color standpoint. You know, when I got to the point where it was Eric Jerome Dickey, he was one of my favorite. It's really not too many that I really read, but I just read a lot of books. I just like reading.
Okay. Did you write as a young person?
Nope. I just read. I used to read my mom's romance books all the time. That's the first book I learned how to read was a romance book. And she used to read them Danielle Steele books. So by the age time I was four, I could read a whole romance book. You know, I was going through them.
And those were my favorite too when I was little.
and you know, and we liked them a little bit because they were a little naughty too. So.
Don't tell my mom I read it. It wasn't as nasty as it is now.
You know, they don't mind, but you know, back then you could kind of put it together. They painted a picture, you know. So yeah.
So now, what was the first type of story that you wrote?
It was actually my autobiography, Restoring Hezekiah, everything, all the situations I've been in life. And with that book, it was just taking some pain that I was going through and the pain that I felt as being a person and a black man and trying to find his way in this world and just keep making mistakes and just doing the wrong things and just trying to put myself out there to get it off of me, you know. And when I did, it took me, I actually moved to Philly and I was back and forth from Philly to New York. And I was doing, I did book signings at Columbia, Howard, Georgetown, Pitt University, different universities with that book. And while I was up there, I decided to write my second book. It was Restoring Hezekiah, Me and Only Me, and touched on relationships and, you know, how we as men feel relationships. when we're in and out of relationships, from our standpoint, and me as a male and our situations that we go through in relationships. And then my
Oh yeah, there's something going on with your mic.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go.
Can you hear me? My bad. And dealing with relationships in my third book, I was getting homesick and I was missing my homies. So I decided to write a book about all the good times that we had hanging on the block. And it was like a Friday movie. You know, I'm giving you like all of our little trials and tribulations, but I put it on like one day and you're going through this with this person. You're like, wow, that's a wild ride. But it was like, you know, I was homesick. And, you know, while I was in Atlanta, somebody asked me like, okay, you're writing about your life and everything, but we want to hear about the other side of you, you know, the side that we really know you about. So I wrote my first exotic romance book. It was called The Player in Me. And it actually became a movie, a little short movie. We hadn't put it out yet. That was my first erotic romance. And then I wrote part two, The Player in Me 2. I love that book too. And then my last one came out.
Wait. We're not going to breeze by. You know, because we're gonna circle back to your first couple books, but let's land a little bit on The Player in Me. Give us a little insight into what that book is about.
It's about this guy. He meets three women, and he finally falls in love with one. And while he falls in love with one, all this chaos happens with the other woman that's involved with him, and he's trying to cut it all, but he can't. And then he got the boyfriends, they find out and they're mad, so they're trying to come at him. And you got all this chaos coming in, but you got this guy, he's a player, but he has a heart and he's compassionate and he has feelings and he know he's doing wrong. And with all this going on in the book, you feel in his emotions of where his mindset is at and what's his thought process and doing all of this. You know, for him, it's like he's searching for that one, but at the same time, he's like, no, I don't really want to be like that. I really want to do this. But at the same time, it's like, if I give up the game, then I got to settle for this. And it's just, you know, what we go through as men, you know, sometimes in this world, and how, you know, they say, oh, we don't have no conscience. How we do have consciousness in our heart. You know, they just being, oh, I'm a player. It's just you decided on what you want out of life and who you want out of life. And sometimes the one that you pick ain't the one for you. And so that's what that book basically touches on. And it has a lot of crazy episodes in it.
Is it about you to a certain degree?
Some things. You know, some things. Some of it, you know, I try to keep my books as honest as I can and give you a real perspective coming from a real person. You know, I might change names and stuff like that, but at the same time, it's coming from a real person and real stuff that we go through in life. You know, it's not just made up. It's like, wow, this really does happen, you know?
Mm. So is it a cautionary tale about being a player?
Yeah. It could be, or you could be like, yeah, I like that character, you know? And that character, or I wish I was that character, you know? But yeah, it's really good.
You know, I wish I could write a player book, but you know, I'm just not. I have nothing to draw from.
You don't want to tell Broco.
I have nothing to draw from. You know? But no, that's excellent. So let's before we go past player and you, let's circle back to your first book, Restoring Hezekiah.
Yeah.
Now, to write a book about your life, it takes a lot. It puts you in a vulnerable state, right? So talk about being in that vulnerable state and sharing things that you probably, I'm assuming you didn't share with a lot of other people. So now you're sharing it with the world. So what was that like? What was that? How did it feel?
It was hard, but it had to be done. My story had to be told, you know, so I could get it out for me. And it was just, I kept going through the same things and I wanted something different out of life. You know, I will always get to a end point. And then when I get to that end point, I would stop and be afraid. I would get to a point and I would stop and be afraid. And I wanted to finally complete something. And I wanted to come from the heart. You know what I mean? I didn't just want to put something out there and it wasn't genuine. Right. So with writing that book, it was a lot of pain. It was a lot of tears. It was a lot of emotion put into that. And basically I let my vulnerability out. I let you know who I was.
Now, were you 100% open with like names of people and experiences, or did you chain some up?
I try to not put people's name out, call them out. I might use a last name, or I might change the name. You know, I'm not really into like putting people, you know, because you know how people, oh, I want to get this, I want to make some money, which you can't because it's my opinion. But at the same time, I just don't do that.
Did some people see themselves in your book and think either that's me or?
Yeah, they do.
How's that interaction?
Oh, it's fun. They love it. Okay. You know, because I'm putting it out there to the world, you know, and you know, I try to respect people's lives as well and respect them. And so, you know, just putting them out there to the world, you know, but that means they had a piece and a part of my life that I'll never forget. So in doing that, that's what I'm happy about.
Now you are a engineer by trade.
Yes, sir.
And congratulations. We need more of us being engineers and whatnot. So what's that? What is that like being an engineer and some, you know, some of the
trials? Well, I got the degree and I never actually used it. That's the funny thing about it. I got in trouble when I put in my first book, but yeah, I actually went to college and became a computer engineer.
Oh, okay.
During that time, I was still struggling with who I was as a person, which is so crazy. You know, I got this whole big career in front of me and still struggling who I am and who I was and trying to love myself, you know. And it was it's crazy because for me, that was easy to do. College was easy to me. You know, it was easy. So it just came to a point where it was decided I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, so I said, hey, let me go to college. I want to be a computer engineer. That's what I did, and I completed it, you know, which was amazing. Just now, I'm trying to search to be in that field now, but at the same time, I like my passion of what I'm doing now and writing books. That's what I love. That's what I've been doing since I was a kid. So it's all, I guess, now finally coming into tuition.
Now, I got to ask you about an award you got.
Yeah.
Kind of a weird title. It says you're the 2020 S&M Gospel Indie Awards.
Yes.
S&M?
Yes. What is that? It's an Indie Award. They hold their awards show every year. And I actually won 2020. I won Author of the Year. I've been nominated every year since. That's based out of North Carolina in Charlotte. They have the award show.
Is it religious or is it?
Yeah, it's religious. Yeah.
Oh, but it's freaky too.
Yeah, but it's not all of my books are just.
No, because it's your S&M gospel.
But I always have a message in my books.
Is it sadomasochism? S&M.
No, it says, and that's what it is, S&M. I don't know what it means.
Oh, okay. I was throwing so,
I always talk about God in my books because he's the one that gave me this talent and he gave me a chance to use it. And I can't write a book without having God in it and give the message and the guidance that he put into the book for me to be able to write that book. So that's the blessing that comes in it. And I always have a message for my readers because what we go through, we get through, you know, and by faith is how we get through the other side, you know, whatever we're going through. So I've been through a lot. And with God helping me to be able to write this book or that book, it's truly a blessing to me, you know. So I guess that's why they nominated me, I guess.
Oh, well, congratulations. And you have a book called The Invisible Woman. Yes. Talk about that one.
Oh man, it's about a ghost. I did that. I dropped that on Valentine's Day. It's about a female that he really loved, and you know he couldn't be with her no more for certain reasons. So I made her into a ghost in the book. And in this book, he moves to back to the town. He's living in a loft that she's lived in. It's about domestic violence. Her boyfriend had killed her at the beginning of the book. And throughout this book, she's coming to him, talking to him. And he thinks she's real. Nobody else around him can see her. He can see her, feel her, touch her, like just like a real. They go on dates together. They talk together. His friends think he's going crazy, you know. They're hooking him up with other women. And he's like, I'm good. I got her, you know. And at the same time, he's trying to date the other women because they want to hook him up, but in reality, he's still talking to this invisible woman that they live. And it's a wild story. You're like, are you serious? Because you think this person, the invisible woman, is real, but she's a ghost. You think she's so real, you can't believe she's a ghost. You know, and it's crazy. The engine is so crazy. You're like, no. Yeah. And she just pops up at any time like, what are you doing? Why is she at my house? Why are you in and it's crazy because the interactions they're talking, and she's giving him lines like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And she's still upset because he didn't ever come see her at the beginning of the book to save her from being killed.
She sounds like my ex.
Wow. So when you come, oh, go ahead.
No,
when you come in with your stories, is there, what's happening in the moment when you say, I'm going to write this genre or these characters?
It's probably a moment that passed.
Hmm.
And I think about it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to write this book. This is how I want to be. This is how I wanted to get across to the audience. It's something that if I can get it out for me and I put it in a book, I mean, I'm okay with it. And like, my newest release is coming out sometime this month, the end of the month. It's going to be The Pastor's Son. I put a lot of time and effort in it. I've been editing it all day for the past 8 hours, so it's like. But this one right here, everybody's going to enjoy it because it touches on addictions. It touches on the church and how the new church and the old church isn't clicking and how the times is changing. It's touching on emotions, relationships, on love, and just being putting your trust in God. And you got these different characters coming in, and you're like, your mind, your head is going like this, and you're like, oh my God, this is funny to make you cry, make you laugh, and it'll make you do a lot of soul searching. It'll make you think about how you look at religion and how God maybe wants us to look at religion. You know, coming from being a pastor's son as I am, it's, you know, you look at it through different eye lenses, you know, what your parents might expect and what you want. It ain't always what your parents want, but you have to live your own life as well. But in this book, it's like, what would ever happen if that person was sick or ill and he wants you to stop everything that you're doing because he believes you have a calling? What would you do? And that's where the perspective of that book comes from. What would you do when you leave the world and come and lead the flock? So you're in this position of what should I do? And I put this in this book, and it's amazing. It's a really good read. I'm telling you, that's the number one book right there for real. That's and the storyline is so good. It's like, okay, everything clicks. It just clicks.
So what's, besides this new book, what are some of your goals as far as being an author? What do you want to accomplish?
Yeah. For me, accomplishing is being able to share my talents with the world, being able to put myself out there, being vulnerable, being able to be the best person I can. Not only that, but change at the same time. And while I'm putting these books out, I'm taking all that mess that's inside me and boom, it's not on me anymore. I just want to, like, I want to do movies. I want to write movies. I just want to show the world, you know, that you might not be Tyler Perry, but there's other people out there that can be great at the same time and write great stories and do great things and be a great person at the same time, you know, and just lead by example. This is what I used to do, but look what I'm doing now. You know, telling the next black man that's coming up, like, look, you don't have to be a gangster. You don't have to be a rapper. You can write. You can do different stuff. You can use your mind, you know, because we got all this technology now. People don't really sit down and read anymore. Everything is a click away. You know what I mean? And it's like, what if we didn't have none of that and you was just left alone? What would you do? Can you read? Can we read? Are we teaching our young black brothers how to read? Because I know when I first moved to Atlanta, there was a lot of black brothers could not read. So I'm trying to get it, push this message like, look, we can write, we can read, we can do this. We can do something other than what they label us. Oh, you can't do this. You can't. No, we can. You know, a felony never stopped me from getting a job. I stopped me from getting a job. You know what I'm saying? It might not be the job you want, but if you push and keep moving forward, I never got turned away. I told one job that I was a felon. They said, oh, we don't hire them. Then when I told them I got another job, they was like, okay, I think we can now. You see what I mean? You turn up the heat on them by your production and what you do and how you present yourself. That's the message that I'm trying to send, that never quit on your dreams. Keep pushing, keep moving forward.
Before we get on out of here, tell us about the Authors Lounge.
Oh man, that's my little radio show, man. I have it actually got not my little podcast, just like y'all have a podcast. I have authors on there, I have entertainers, I have different businesses on there. Anybody with talent that want to really come on. So we sit there and we talk about, what are you doing? What's your next best thing? What's your brand? What are you pushing? How you want to be presented worldwide. And we sit there and we talk and we have a good conversation. I also have HTA Enterprises that we started up with Angela Smith and Tamara Lucas, where we train other people how to do podcasts. And they got their own podcast now. It's called the Drew Podcast. We just finished up season one. Now we're into season two. So we're doing that. So check them out. It's called the Drew Podcast, the Crew Podcast, my bad. I also do digital videos. I do my own book trailers. I do all that stuff. Everything that I had to learn myself, because I was like, why pay somebody this much money when I can figure out how to do it myself? Like, I do all my book trailers and everything on my cell phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And like, if you ever go on my page, you'll see all these little videos and trailers. Yeah, I did all of them. You know, I just figured out how to tap into my talents, how to do different stuff there to keep me relevant, you know, to keep me motivated, keep me wanting, keep me pushing, and keep giving me that drive. And it's amazing. You know, sometimes I get up, I don't want to do it no more. And then sometimes it's like, well, this is who I am.
We have a question from the audience. Renee, you want to read it?
Sure. Alexis Wells. Hey, Alexis. Says, have you ever thought about starting a therapeutic writing workshop for men?
I have. I get a lot of inboxes about people that say, oh, I want to write a book. But at the same time, it's like, I'm like, okay, you want to write a book, but that's not telling me nothing. Like, just write the book. It doesn't matter how you start. And I wanted to do a group where I would give people a chance to write that stuff and put it on paper, because it's a lot of people that come to me and say, I want to write a book. There's a lot of stuff that I need to get out of it. So I was thinking around next year, starting a group just for men. And we talk about, what are we writing about? What are we feeling? How do we feel about ourselves? And what kind of goals are we setting for ourselves in 2024? And we want to write books? Do we want to do movies? Do we want to really tap into who we are and what we go through?
All right. Thank you. Well, Hezekiah, I want to thank you so much for coming on our program. And what should we be on the lookout for? I know you mentioned
The Pastor's Son. It's another one that we're doing. It's called The Pastor's Son, the movie. We're going to work on that next year. A podcast, we're going to start that back up. But most of the things I'm going to try to start really now marketing and promoting my books. I really haven't had a chance. I've just been writing book after book after book after book. I just want to sit down and just finally, you know, market and promote my books and, you know, try to get other people involved in doing different things. And, you know, setting up a business aspect, get my business going, get little stuff, start bringing in some finances and stuff so I can do different projects, travel and go to different states and just showing my talent, books and book signings and stuff like that. I know in March, I'm going to be in South Carolina. They got a book signing, a big author showcase. In November, I'm going to be at an author showcase in High Point at a library with like 20 other authors. That's going to be big. So it's a lot of things I got coming down the pipe that I'm just going to be fitting into the calendar as the year goes on next year. So.
All right. So you're going on tour?
Basically, yeah. Yeah. Going on tour.
Love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much. And how can people, if they want to reach you, how can they get you?
Reach me on Facebook. It's Too Legit to Quit. Instagram, Arthur Hezzy. My Gmail is hazmore8522@gmail.com. Twitter is Morris_Hezekiah. And that's it. That's it. I want to thank y'all for having me on the show, too. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. I feel like when you say too legit to quit, I kind of wanted to break out.
Yeah, I'm going to put my hammer pants on. Don't make me dance on the show.
Renee, can we be looking out for you?
Of course. Children's book number 3 is almost done. I guess I can put the name out now. Buzzy Bee, Go Away. So it started from the first children's book my sister and I wrote. We had different characters, so we said each character is going to have its own book. So, okay. Finishing that up now. What about you, Kente?
Yeah, you can catch me right here. We're actually will be back Friday, not Wednesday, but Friday, for an all new show, and I think we'll have a special guest. I mean, all of our guests are special, but a special guest. Friday, we'll keep that secret, I guess, until it's not. And I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, so with that said, you guys have a great rest of your week. God bless you and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Hezekiah.
Oh, and one more thing. Have a great week.
Oh my goodness.